If you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 22, it's interesting how the Lord works. Even before Pastor's message this morning, God was leading me to preach this message that goes hand in hand with what Pastor preached this morning. And he went to Revelation 22 for a moment in his message, and we'll be there for the message tonight. And we'll read these verses. We'll read verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20 here in a moment. But in speaking the English language for the time I've been here on this earth, I've come to realize a few things. I've come to realize that there are various ways that you can emphasize something that you want to say. Most of us, if we want to emphasize something, we usually just yell it a little bit louder, don't we? Maybe we yell at our kids to tell them, hey, stop it. Like my daughter, she's almost 2 years old now, and of course she's walking all over the place and learning to run, and sometimes I have to yell at her and to get her attention. Maybe she's going to fall off something or touch something that's hot, and we use yelling as a form of emphasis sometimes. Also, whispering can even be used for emphasis. You know, when someone whispers something to you, it makes you just listen a little bit closer to try and hear what they're saying. And whispering can be used for emphasis. Another form of emphasizing something is to repeat something more over and over again. The Bible does that very often. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 3, the angels are around the throne and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Why do they say holy, holy, holy 3 times in a row like that? Because they're emphasizing how holy our God is. He's the most holy. There's no one like our God. And so they use that to emphasize it. They repeat it. And as we come to Revelation 22, we see that Jesus Christ is emphasizing something to us. And he's using that form of repeating a phrase more than once to emphasize a point. And we'll see it here as we read verse number 7, verse number 12, and verse number 20. I believe you'll notice the three-word phrase that Jesus repeats in these verses. Verse number 7, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse number 12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Then notice verse number 20, John starts off and says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You see the phrase there that Jesus repeats 3 times, I come quickly. Why does he do that in these 21 verses of this chapter? Why does he repeat that phrase 3 times? Because he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to emphasize the fact that he could come at any moment, and he wants us to be ready. I come quickly, Jesus said. No doubt this is repeated for emphasis. It is said that repetition aids learning, or at least it should, and Jesus Christ said he is coming quickly 3 times in this one passage, but isn't it often the case that we forget about his coming? He repeats it 3 times to help us remember, but we forget that he's coming. So often, he emphasized his coming for a reason, because it is very important. We will look at these 3 verses tonight where Christ said, I come quickly, and we will learn that what we must do to be ready for that coming. And simply tonight, I just want us to see that Christ's return is imminent. That means it can happen at any moment. Therefore, we must be ready to meet him at any moment. If he could come at any moment, we need to be continually living in a state where we're ready to meet him. I just want to notice just a few things, and Pastor mentioned one of these points this morning, but before we look at the 3 points that I have, it's just important to understand some things. When Jesus said, I come quickly, what did he mean when he said, I come quickly? As Pastor mentioned, it's been 2,000 years since he's come. That doesn't seem very quick to us, does it? 2,000 years is a long time. So what was Jesus saying? First, we must remember that God's timetable is not our timetable. You remember 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. that we read this morning. It says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." So to us, Christ has been gone for over 2,000 years. But to God and Him who lives outside of time, it's been only about 2 days to God. And so we see that God's timetable is not our timetable. And then we have to realize about this is that the word quickly is not dealing with the time of Christ's return, but it's dealing with the manner in which He will return. It's quickly or suddenly. The Bible talks about in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen quick. It's going to be sudden. And that's what Christ is saying here. I come quickly. It's going to happen in an instant when I come. A lot of people aren't going to be ready for it. And so we have to understand those things before we look into these points tonight. But first of all, tonight, I want to see in verse number 7, Jesus said, "I come quickly," and we need to be walking with God in light of that fact. Notice verse number 7, it says again, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And I appreciate the Sunday school lesson about walking. The word, the Greek word there that we learned about in the Sunday school lesson, that's found hundreds of times in our New Testament. I didn't look it up to see if it's here in this passage, but we learned about that. And Jesus says here in verse number 7, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." How do we walk with God today? You know, Adam and Eve were privileged to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. But how do you and I walk with God today? We walk with God by obeying this book right here. This is how we walk with God. And Jesus says here, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And we know by interpretation that he's talking about the book of Revelation. But by application, we know from other places that God wants us to obey his word. Luke 11, verse 28, Jesus said, but he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And keep it. God wants us to obey his word. And by obeying his word, we walk with him. We need to keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. But there are some requirements, God's requirements to walk with him. The first requirement is that we must be in agreement with him. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And the answer to that is, of course, no. If you're not in agreement with somebody, you can't walk with them. And so to be in agreement with God, we have to be right with him. We have to agree with God about the fact that we're sinners. We have to turn to him and be saved. And that's where the relationship starts at salvation. We have to agree with God and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner, and would you please save me?" And he always does to the person who repents of their sins and calls to God by faith. And so it starts with agreement. We need to agree with God about who we are. But then walking with God and having a relationship with God also requires fellowship, time spent together. Would you look at 1 John with me? 1 John chapter 1. This relationship, this walk with God requires not only agreement but fellowship. Notice 1 John 1. Verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. And when we do, we can have fellowship with God. We need to spend time with God if we're going to have a walk with him. We need to spend time in his word every day. That's how God speaks to us. We need to spend that time in fellowship. And then the third requirement for walking with God and having a relationship with him is communication. What kind of relationship is it if you never talk to the person that you supposedly have a relationship with? You know, communication is such an important thing in any relationship, and the same goes with our relationship to God. And we talk to God, we communicate with him through prayer. Matthew 6, verse number 6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." God wants us to communicate with him. And Jesus goes on in that very passage to give us the model prayer of how we ought to pray. But communication is so important. So those are God's requirements. Jesus said back here in Revelation, I come quickly. He said, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We need to be walking with God in light of Christ's sudden coming. We need to be walking with him. And if we do, there are rewards for that. Rewards when we do walk with him. First, we can be blessed on this earth. Now, all the blessings are not future blessings. We're going to have a lot of blessings in heaven, but we can be blessed on this earth by walking with God today. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. And that's you can be that man here on this earth just by walking with God, having a relationship with him. So we can be blessed on this earth. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've been away from the Lord. I haven't been following and walking with God as I ought to. And you know, that's a horrible feeling, to live with that guilt and that shame that comes from being away from the Lord. It's probably the worst feeling that a believer can experience here on this earth, to be away from his heavenly Father. But on the other hand, there's been times where I've been right with the Lord. And I know that there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. As far as I can tell, I'm walking with God. And you know, there's no better feeling than that in life. It's the best feeling that a believer can experience. Don't you love that feeling when you know that you're right with God, that you're walking with God, that you're in a right relationship with him? It's a wonderful thing, and we can be blessed on this earth by walking with God. One hymn says, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. God wants us to have that communion, that fellowship, by walking with him. So we can be blessed on this earth. But then if we walk with God, we can be blessed at his coming. And we find that in Revelation 22, verse number 7, where Jesus said, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Those who do not walk with Christ in this life won't be happy to see him when he comes. Why would you be happy to see someone who you don't have a relationship with or you don't know personally? Why would you be happy to see a stranger that you don't know? Of course, I'm a stranger to you in some sense, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have that communion through the Holy Spirit. But when we don't know somebody, and they come through the door, are we necessarily happy to see them? Not necessarily, because we don't have that relationship. And so the person who's not walking with God won't be happy to see him either, because they're not living in that relationship with him as they ought. You'll only be happy to see Christ when he comes if you've been walking with him as you should. Otherwise, you'll be ashamed. And the pastor looked at that verse that talks about being ashamed at his coming. Many believers will be ashamed because they weren't walking with their Savior. So Jesus says, first of all, here in verse number 7, behold, I come quickly. And in light of that, we need to be walking with God. Number 2 is found in verse number 12. We'll read the verse again. Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus said, I come quickly, and we need to be working for God. We need to be working for God. God not only wants us to have a personal walk with him, but he wants us to work for him as well. And of course, we know that that doesn't keep us saved, that we're not saved by our works, but we're saved unto good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, you've heard it said before that God didn't save us just to sit. He saved us to serve. And we need to be working for God. There's some clear commands in the scriptures, many verses we could turn to that talk about being a servant to others. And that's one way we can work for God. Also, by being a soul winner for the Lord. That's how we can work for God. Mark 16:15 says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We could turn to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, where it says that we shall be witnesses, both in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God has called us to be his witnesses, to be his soul winners for him, and that's how we can work for God here in this earth. In light of Christ's sudden coming, working for Christ must be done with urgency. Why must it be done with urgency? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, first of all, and then because Christ could come back at any moment. That's why it's an urgent thing that we need to work for God today while we still have today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Urgency for Christ, that's what we need. Uncertainty of life should equal urgency for Christ. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27, verse number 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We're not guaranteed another breath to breathe. We're not guaranteed another day to live. Christ could take us at any moment, and he could come at any moment. We need to be working for him with urgency today. Work for the night is coming, when man can work no more, that song says. We need to work because of the clear commands that Christ has given us, and then we need to work for him because there's a just judgment that is coming for us as believers. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. One day, all of us will stand before God and give an account for how we live this life on this earth, what we did for the Lord in this life. It's not a judgment that judges our sins. Our sins have been already taken care of by Christ upon the cross. But it's a judgment of works. What have we done for Christ? I want to turn to a couple of these passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn there with me. Some passages about the judgment seat of Christ that all of us as believers will stand before Christ and give an account. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, we see that it's a judgment of works. It says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. Another judgment seat of Christ passage. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We see it's a judgment of works. Our works will be laid before our Savior, and if they're gold, silver, and precious stones, they'll remain. But if they're wood, hay, and stubble, they'll be burnt up if our works were worthless. It's a judgment of works, and it's a judgment where God asks the question why we did what we did. You know, God can judge our motives of why we serve him. Did you come to church? Did you go door to door soul winning because you know you have to and to please some man upon this earth? Or did you do it because the love of Christ constrains you to go and do those things? Why do you do what you do? I can't tell you. I can't see your heart. But God can. And on that day, he'll judge our works, and he'll ask the question, why did you do what you did? And he'll judge our motives at the same time. And it's a judgment of rewards. Back here in Revelation 22, verse number 12, Jesus said, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." It's a judgment of rewards. And we know that there are many crowns that we can receive as believers, and we don't have time to look at those. And also from some parables that Jesus gave, we know that there's different positions in the millennial kingdom that we can receive from Christ if we've worked for him on this earth. But they're rewards. How ashamed would you be if your earthly employer gave you a task to do, but because you were slacking, the task was unaccomplished, and your employer found you at your workplace and said, "Why didn't you do the task I told you to do?" We'd stand before him ashamed. And the same goes with God. If we haven't worked for Him and done what He's called us to do on this earth, we'll have to stand before Him ashamed on that day, the judgment seat of Christ. So God reminds us here, Jesus Christ reminds us here and says, I'm coming quickly. You need to be working for me. You need to be working for me. Then number three is found in verse number 20 tonight. We'll read it again. Verse number 20, John starts off and says, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. There's the third time. And John responds and says, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We learn from this, Jesus said, I come quickly. We need to be watching for Christ's return. We need to be watching. And what I mean by watching is that we need to have a hopeful expectation and desire for His return. We need to be enthusiastic and eager about being with our Savior. Can't you hear the eagerness in John's voice when he says, Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus? John, he was ready to see Christ. He wanted to be with Him. He was expecting Him to come, and he was looking forward to being with his Savior. And so ought we. This watching, first of all, involves believing He really is coming. And notice what John says. He says, Amen. What does that word amen mean? It means it is true. It means let it be so. And so Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. And John says, Amen. It's true. I know You're coming. Let it be so. He believed Christ was really coming. And we need to say amen as well. We need to believe that He's really coming, but we need not just to say it with our voices. Say amen, I know Christ is coming, but we need to say it with our lives and how we live before Christ and say amen. It is true, He's coming. I'm going to purify myself even as He is pure in light of His sudden coming. We need to say amen, not only with our mouth, but with our life as well. So it involves believing He really is coming, and then this watching involves earnestly desiring His return. John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13, Pastor read this verse this morning as well, says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for Him? Are you watching for Him? Are you doing it with an earnest expectation? Are you desiring His return? Even so come, Lord Jesus, John said. Do you desire to be with your Savior, your Savior Jesus Christ, your everything? He's done so much for us, hasn't He? Don't you look forward to seeing Him? If not, there's something seriously wrong with your relationship with God if you don't desire to see Him. And the only remedy that can renew that desire is to start walking with the Lord and beginning to work for Him. You know, all these points go hand in hand together. You won't be watching for Christ's return if you're not walking with Him and you're not working for Him. If you're not walking with Him and working for Him, you definitely won't be watching for Him. So they go hand in hand. They're all connected. And Jesus Christ emphasizes His return three times in this passage. He says, I come quickly in verse number 7. I come quickly in verse number 12. In verse number 20, He says it again. I come quickly. And we learn from these things that we need to be walking with God. We need to be working for Him. We need to be watching for Him. And if we do, we'll be blessed at His coming. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Fellowship Baptist Church and their many years of faithfulness here. And thank You for their faithful giving to missions all around the world. And thank You for their work here in this community of reaching souls for Christ. I just thank You for this passage now and the message that we heard from Pastor this morning about Your return. You could come at any moment. We believe it to be true, but oftentimes our lives don't back up what we say with our mouths. So we pray, Lord, that You'd help us, in light of Your sudden coming, that You'd help us to walk with You, help us to work for You, and help us to be watching for You each and every day. I pray for someone who might not be walking with You tonight. Pray that they'd make a decision to renew that relationship with You, and to renew that fellowship and that friend-to-friend relationship with You. Lord, maybe someone here who's just been sitting and they haven't been serving you, pray, Lord, that tonight they'd make a decision to start serving you as they ought. And Lord, help all of us to be watching for you so that we might be ready and so that we might not be ashamed before you when you come. Help us in these things tonight, we pray. Bless the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.